So I'm sure you all know me. I'm Nat. I'm normally up in Nottingham, but I'm back down for Christmas, and so I'm here and I'm preaching, which is why I'm committing the cardinal sin of not wearing a shirt, because they're all in Nottingham. bit big. But we're going to be opening God's Word and finding out more about prayer in the Bible and what that means for us, which is kind of appropriate for a prayer and praise. So if you've got a Bible, please open it to Colossians chapter 1. And if not, there's some at the back, and I'm sure Vaughan can grab you one. But yeah, Colossians chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 9 to 14. But just to summarize the bit before that, Paul addresses a letter to the church in Colossae and then explains how he gives thanks for them. And he says that he gives thanks to God for the Colossians' faith in God, for their love for one another and for all God's people, for the hope that they have stored up in heaven, and for the fruit that the gospel is bearing in their lives and around the world. And then he goes on to explain how he's praying for them. And so we read from verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So first things first, it's important to note that this is a prayer. This isn't some kind of theology or instruction or rebuke. Paul will get on to all that later. You know, he'll talk about suffering for the gospel. He'll talk about how Christians should live in view of the gospel and all those things later on. But he wants to start the letter by encouraging the Colossians. He explains in verses 7 and 8 that he's heard from Epaphras, who went and preached to the Colossians and planted the church there. He's heard from him all the joys and thanksgiving they have, but also all the struggles and all the things that are going not so well for the Colossians. And so he writes to them and encourages them to say they're not alone, but whatever is going on, Paul is there praying for them. And this is so important for us to do as well, that we pray for our brothers and sisters, thanking God, as Paul does, for their faith and love and hope, and praying the things we're going to look at later on. And doing this for our families and our spouses and friends, for our church, as we're doing tonight, and for mission partners and for students like me and everyone else. And also to tell people when we pray for them, as Paul does, because that's such a wonderful encouragement to know that whatever you're going through, whether it's something really difficult or just the daily grind of life, that someone is praying for you and lifting up all your needs and your thanks before the Father. It's such a wonderful joy and such a great thing that we can do that for one another and encourage each other in that way. So he's praying for them. What is he actually praying? Well, if we look at verse 9, he says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, that God will fill them with the knowledge of his will. And to clarify two things here, firstly, this isn't what we'd call the hidden will of God, or the like little details of life, but it's the revealed will of God. So for example, I'm a student, I'm in my second year. In a year and a half, hopefully, I'll be graduating. And then I'm going to look at like potentially 80 years of life and think, what do I do next? And I don't know. Like, where will I live? What job will I do? Will I get married? And to who? And will I have kids? And will I struggle with this or that sin or illness or whatever else? And God doesn't tell us all those things. And that's up to God. But Paul's prayer is that God will fill them with the knowledge of his revealed will, of his gospel. If we look at verse 14, he says that in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that, in a nutshell, is what he wants them to know. He wants them more and more to understand the depth of their sin and uselessness, but the infinitely greater depth of God's grace for them. That is the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And that then leads on to what he prays in verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, that as their knowledge of the gospel grows, as their faith in Christ grows, their lives will reflect that. And in ways that they wouldn't have known about before, they'll start to please God. They'll bear fruit and please God in every way. And then that leads on to growing in the knowledge of God, that as you live a life worthy of God's calling, as you spend time hearing his word preached and reading it, and just seeing the way God works in the world, and spending time in prayer with him, and so on, we come to know God more and more. And not just the gospel, but all about who he is and what he does. And then that kind of spirals upwards and upwards, that we start, we find out about who God is, and then we start to live and act in a way that deserves it or is worthy of it. And then we know God more, and then we live worthy of it, and so on, just carrying on upwards and upwards. And it starts with God filling us with knowledge of the gospel, which all sounds really great. Paul recognizes that that isn't easy at all. And so he says in verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. So he recognizes that as the Colossians go through life, they are going to struggle, and they are going to go through seasons where it doesn't seem like God is doing this. And so he prays that God will give them strength according to his power and glorious might to endure, that whatever struggles or pressures come their way, they'll stand firm in the faith and carry on believing in God, having faith, and living it out. That they'll be patient with one another, with the outside world, and through all the circumstances that come. And that they'll have joy in all of that. A joy that doesn't make sense to the outside world because it isn't focused on material things or on circumstantial things, but on the love of God. And so these two things, this kind of spiral and this strength from God, will lead the Colossians on to give thanks to the Father as they recognize more and more what it is that he's done for them, which he explains in verses 12 to 14. And this very much is a prayer for the whole Christian life, that we know the gospel more, we live it out, we know God more, we're strengthened to endure with patience and joy, and we give thanks to God. This is the works. And so Paul isn't kind of messing around in his prayer here. He knows what matters for the Colossians, and he's praying for it. And so that's important for us to remember as we spend time praying for our brothers and sisters, that we pray for things that really matter. And finally, there's a reassurance here for the Colossians and for us that this is not a law prayer, it's a gospel prayer. Because we can look at this and be very discouraged, I think. So I looked at verse 9, and he says, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And if I look at my life, if I'm honest, don't even pray for the things that I selfishly want continually, let alone for the good of our brothers and sisters. Or it says that you'll please him in every way. And obviously none of us have done that or will do it. And that's okay, because it's not a legal condemnation, it's the gospel. Paul knows that the Colossians aren't going to turn around and suddenly be the perfect church, but he knows that God is a perfect God. And so his confidence in praying this comes from that faith in God, which I think is is hiding in plain sight in just about every verse. So in verse 9, he says that he's asking God to fill them. And it's by the wisdom and understanding of the Spirit. In verse 11, they're being strengthened not with their own power, but with God's power and might. And in verse 12, he says that it's the Father who's qualified them to share in the inheritance of his people, not the Colossians themselves. And then it's the Son who's given them redemption and forgiveness, not themselves. So this is a joyful prayer for growth. This is Paul looking and hearing about the Colossians and saying, Lord, this is wonderful. It's amazing what you've done, and let it grow. You know, they've heard the gospel, well, let them know it more. They're bearing fruit and telling their neighbors, but let them do that more and bear fruit more. This isn't Paul kind of passive-aggressively saying, you guys are doing awfully and step it up, or God is going to get rid of you. This is a loving prayer for growth, which obviously isn't an excuse to be lazy. We can't just say, well, God will do it all, so I'm not going to bother. It's important that we spend time in his word and examine ourselves to see how we can grow. But we can do that in the security of the gospel. So to close, remember to pray these things for one another. And even, you know, use Colossians 1 as a framework for praying for one another. And tell people when you pray for them and encourage them in that way. And all of these things, continue to long for them and to pray about them. But do that in the assurance that we have God's grace and we don't have to do this to earn his favor, but he will grow them in us. So I'm going to pray, and then I think we're going to spend some time in prayer. Father, thank you for this wonderful word that we have from you. Thank you that we can spend time in it and know more of your will, and that you promise to speak to us through it, and that we have this gospel assurance to rely on, and may that grow in each one of us, that as you fill us with the knowledge of your will, we will grow upwards and upwards and know you more, Father. So in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.